Century Farm plaques at the end of rural Alberta laneways still stand as monuments to the legacies they left their great-great-grandchildren who still plow the same soil. Those farms and this country are here today because no matter the hardship, they never gave up on Canada, and neither should we.
Just a snippet from Pierre Poilievre's speech yesterday in Calgary. This is part of his kind of anti-separation tour, I guess you could call it, that he's doing. He's really promoting Canadian unity over the next little while. He's traveling around Alberta giving speeches in various places. Yesterday, he was at a Legion Hall in Calgary. He didn't have a big audience there. I thought the speech was very, very good. One of the stronger ones that I've heard Pierre Poilievre give, and I think he's given some good speeches. His history lesson of the BNA Act, the British North American Act, this is about 2 minutes long, but I want you to give it a listen. I think he really lays out the roles of the various levels of government very well here.
Alberta became a province in 1905 because Confederation promised to marry autonomy over local decisions with shared strength of pan-Canadian trade, defense, population, and landmass. The win-win of Confederation was really crystallized in the British North American Act, often called the BNA. The BNA is Canada's DNA. It's a different kind of constitution than most countries. There are no lofty ideals expressed, no grand statements. It's an org chart. It's a who does what manual. It's a summary of what the provinces and the federal government should separately do as part of the common project of Canada. It's very practical, based on the principle that power should be as close to the people as possible. What an individual can do, let him do it. What he can't, let the locality do it. What the locality can't do, let the province do it. And what the province cannot do, then and only then, the federal government steps in. In the British North American Act, schools, hospitals, natural resources are the responsibility of provinces. The federal government does borders, defense, criminal law, and movement of goods and services across borders. Each level of government should do only what only that government can do. That approach, for most of our history, kept government affordable and accountable and left maximum freedom for people and provinces to do what worked for them. It also kept us out of each other's hair. And that all made sense. You don't need a federal government to put up a stop sign, approve a mine, build a road or a hospital that is only inside one province. You do need it to clear the way for a railway or a pipeline that crosses many provinces, or to buy fighter jets that can protect all 10 provinces and 3 territories. The problem lately has been that the federal government has been terrible at the things that are its job, while sticking its nose in things that are not its job.
I mean, doesn't that, in 2 minutes, really sum up the consternation, the frustrations, the anguish that we've been feeling over the last little while? I don't care what your political persuasion is. You have to admit that that is really what is at the heart of the battle between, well, let's say Alberta and Canada. We could say that we have our grievances here in Saskatchewan as well. I know that. But in that 2 minutes, I think Pierre Poilievre did a good job of summing it up. And the other thing I wanted to play for you from his speech yesterday is he pointed out, we have done this before. We have dug out of problematic places in Canadians' history before.
We've done it before. In the 1980s, Canadians elected a new government. And over the following 30 years, we scrapped the National Energy Program, signed free trade with the United States, unblocked and unlocked the oil sands, shrunk the size of the federal government by a third, and unbridled Alberta to become the richest place anywhere on earth. We can do that again. The good news is that the problems that we need to fix are easily fixable. And what I would say is listen carefully to the concerns of those who are saying they want to leave. And you will find that they do not have a problem with their fellow Canadians or even with Canada itself. They have a problem with the federal government. We don't need a different country in Alberta. We need different government policies in Ottawa.
Well, you can imagine. That got a round of applause, but a lot of the pieces, the speaking points that Pierre Poilievre hit on yesterday, I think are a blueprint for what you can do to eradicate this feeling of Western alienation that we talk about so much on this show. Do you agree? I'm giving his speech a 10 out of 10 yesterday. I don't know if you caught it. I don't know if you listened to clips of it, or maybe you went back and listened to the entire thing. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I know there's lots of people weighing in on the text line. Phone line is open for you as well. 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear from you. Also, we are more than willing to talk about Premier Mo and the trip that he is taking, just announced this morning. In fact, he was live on our show just after the announcement was made, talking about the fact that they are heading to Europe for the next 10 days on a trade mission aimed at strengthening Saskatchewan's relationship with key trading partners. Interesting to me that there are still mixed reviews on this, right? There are still a number of people that don't love this. And I'll use Sharon as an example on the text line here. All countries are fighting wars with their neighbors and immigration, yet we have our premier traveling to these same countries about investments. If as much time was spent on his job in Saskatchewan as around the world, we'd have the best health care and education for starters. Make peace at home. Big problem with politicians. All done at the compliments of taxpayers. Where are people any better off by a politician's travels? I feel like we are. I feel like we do. These trade missions, we do gain something from these trade missions, and we have seen numerous times. Sometimes it's been when Premier Mo has traveled with the Prime Minister of Canada. Other times it's been when they've gone on their own. But I'm a supporter of the trade offices in various countries. It's obviously the ones where we do a heavy amount of trade. India, China, those are important. Those are important partners for us, the United States, of course, as well. Cindy said, I think it's great the way our province is opening doors to diversify our trade abroad. Premier Mo obviously takes the well-being of our province very seriously, but I wonder how many days it will take before the Liberals wiggle any trade growth our province secures from Premier Mo's upcoming trip to their own podium boasting comments. Well, could be, Cindy. I don't know. It's a possibility, perhaps. 1-877-332-8255. You want to join the conversation, whether it's the Premier's trade mission, maybe you want to talk about Poilievre's speech, maybe you want to talk about the fact that Mark Carney just this morning confirmed that the Gordie Howe Bridge is finally opening in Eastern Canada. This is something that we've been watching, and he was caught just before going into a meeting this morning and gave this response.
Well, look, it's positive news. Obviously, the bridge will be open at the end of the week, and you know, a symbol, but also a fact of cooperation between our countries. Great for Canadians going across the border, Americans coming across the border, and for commerce. And I just want to salute those who constructed it on both sides, and looking forward to getting it done.
You'll remember earlier this year, it was reported both sides, Canada and the United States, quietly trying to negotiate when that opening was happening after U.S. President Donald Trump complained. I think that was February of this year, complained that Canada wasn't treating the U.S. fairly on trade, and he went on a bit of a tirade about the construction of the bridge and... yeah, there's a few things there. Anyway, good news that the bridge is opening. What do you want to talk about? Give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. Let's start with Peter in Moose Jaw. Peter, thanks for calling in. What have you got on your mind today?
Evan, that last text that you got there from that woman talking about trade and not needing to trade and staying home, and that is a recipe for disaster. Our province is built on trade. Everything we have here, schools, hospitals, roads, that has been paid for by us trading our natural resources to the world and taking the money and using it to build these things. We can't exist without trade. Scott Moe has got to get on his bicycle and start going around everywhere and try to spread the word about Saskatchewan. You will end up broke, so broke and penniless if you don't trade. And I was just telling your producer, Brad Wall likes to say it. It's such a great phrase. You don't get rich washing each other's socks.
That is a good line. And that is true, actually, Peter. Thanks for calling in. Let's stay on the Premier's trade mission, and let's go to Aaron in Humboldt. Aaron, thanks so much for calling in. What have you got?
Well, I'm just curious to know why that you don't ask hard questions. Like, what is the budget for this, flitting around Europe with his, family members? Who's paying for his wife when she's over there going to the Paris cafes? Are they jumping on a private jet? We had an Ontario scandal here not very long ago where they bought a private jet. Is Scott Moe paying for a private jet from our taxpayer dollars? Or is he jumping on the plane with, executives from Cameco who are flying there anyway? What is the budget for this? And, he sort of said, we're just going to, head over to Paris whenever we get a chance. Well, when you book a last-minute flight from, Brussels to Paris, it's probably 10 times the price than if you planned it out. So,
But I'm thinking. Thanks for the call. But I mean, this clearly is a planned and scheduled trip. We often will get reporting back afterwards, the financial reporting of it. I'm not a person that takes the attitude that there's nefarious things going on behind the scenes when it comes to trips like this. So, yeah, fair enough. We need to know. We need to understand the cost of it. But my premise is this is important for us to be doing these things. And I know that there's going to be a cost to it. It's not, to me, it's not going to come free of charge. The premier talked about the fact that, yes, there are some executives going from Cameco, from some of the industries here in the province. And obviously, once back, as we talked about with the premier this morning, we'd love to have him back on the show. We'll do a bit of a kind of a reflection on the trip. What did you accomplish? What's the value for the taxpayers in the province? All things that we can talk about and follow up when he is back. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, time for one more caller. I've got Clark calling in. Clark, where are you calling from today?
Martinsville.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. What have you got for me on Open Lines?
Well, I was driving down the road yesterday and listening to your radio station there, and they had a news clip from Carney introducing our new Governor General.
Right, Louise Arbour, yes.
Yeah, he was giving a nice little speech, and he commented that she represented the core values of Canada as a country. And one of the core values he listed was sustainability. Like, in my mind, I do not think sustainability is a core value of a country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that shows, you were talking about Polyev and his speech, which I caught last night too, is pretty good. And the divide between Alberta and Western Canada and federal government. There's comments like that, I think, that just show the difference in the mindset. When our prime minister says, a core value of our country is sustainability. That's pretty awful. That's not my core value at all. He didn't mention honesty and integrity and something we could probably all agree on as a core value. He says sustainability is a core value.
Which might be a core value of his government. You and I might agree, whether we don't agree on that it should be or not. It could very much be a core value of the Liberal government. I will say, Clark, there are a number of people that were on the text line yesterday as that kind of a formal installation ceremony was happening. There were a number of people who were not happy about the choice for Governor General. Many people feel Louise Arbour has been quite divisive in the past in some of her comments, some of her decisions as part of the Supreme Court of Canada, some of the documents that she's written, everything from climate to military. There's a number of things. So there, I would say it's safe to say that not everybody is jumping up and down about the appointment of her to that position. Thanks for the call. Let's take a break. Come back. I want to check in on the text line again, 1-877-332-8255. Open Lines continues until 10 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Listen carefully. to the concerns of those who are saying they want to leave. And you will find that they do not have a problem with their fellow Canadians or even with Canada itself. They have a problem with the federal government. We don't need a different country in Alberta. We need different government policies in Ottawa.
A few texts rolling in about the Pierre Poilievre speech. Some disagreeing with me. I thought the speech was great. Some people saying, yeah, I don't know if I would call it great. I've got a text here from Sean calling in or texting in from north of Maymont. Says, great speech, but all true nostalgia with no plan to immediately restore charter rights of freedom of expression and liberty, property, and pre-existing firearms rights. Well, Pierre Poilievre did on this show say, this was prior to the election, if elected prime minister, would you get rid of the firearm legislation? He said immediately. So he did. He has said that, I think, fairly consistently. Back to Sean's text, he said, business policy is important, but basic rights of life, liberty, and security of the person must be enduring and protected by government, not eroded by government. Cameron, in Regina, Pierre Poilievre has no choice but to be patient. If Carney's promises come to fruition, the Conservatives don't have a chance. But at some point, Carney has to do something more than make great claims of Canadian potential. If the first 15 months are any example of his economic accomplishments, I wouldn't hold my breath, says Cameron from Regina. There were a couple of people that said here, Dave in PA, 12 out of 10, that's what he's giving Poilievre's speech. How could someone criticize that speech? Good leaders bring people together, not divide people. Pierre is wanting to work together and look at issues from the same side of the table. He definitely is promoting Canadian unity. There's no question about that. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to a little bit about the forestry industry, forestry management. Wildfires, fairly manageable, touch wood. Fairly manageable so far this season, largely in part because of the moisture we had through the winter time. We've got an expert in forestry management joining us next to talk about the industry from a few different angles. That's coming up next here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.